Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Orchid Pharma Limited earnings conference call hosted by Nuvama Institutional Equities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Manish Dhanuka, Managing Director at Orchid Pharma Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Aman. Hi, good afternoon, and welcome to the Q3 earnings call for Orchid Pharma Limited. I hope you have already gone through the results of Q3. Happy to announce that this is the first quarter where Orchid has been PAT positive since our takeover. I can say it has been an eventful journey for almost 3 years since we took over the control of Orchid Pharma on 31st March 2020. I will now take this opportunity to share a comparison of 9-month results from the time we took over. This will demonstrate the progress we have been able to make during our time as the new management. Sales in the 9 months are up from 396 crores to 456 crores. Employee expenses are down from 65 crores to 49 crores, a reduction of 25%. Non-employee other expenses are down from 166 crores to 97 crores, a reduction of more than 40%. Major areas of cost saving have been consumables, which we have saved 50%, factory maintenance 30%, insurance almost 60%, consultancy and credit loss. With this, our repeated operating leverage has improved significantly. With these developments, our operating leverage has improved significantly. From an employee cost of 16.5% as a percentage of sales in financial year 20, first 9 months, it has come down to 10.7% in the last 9 months. On the other expenses, we have come down from 41.9% to 21.4%. Overall basis, from 58.4% of costs below the gross margin, we have come down to 32.1%. As a result of these measures, that is increasing the sales and reducing the cost, we have been able to achieve a 13% EBITDA as against 1.5%, which was before our takeover. Further on the debt front, as most of you would be aware, we had taken a term loan of 427 crores to acquire Orchid Pharma. Our endeavor was to reduce the debt and the interest burden at the earliest possible, and we have systematically focused on conversion of all non-core assets into cash. We have sold off loss-making IKKT business, the formulation business. It had a loss of 61 crores in financial year 20, which is no more existent. The sales proceeds of this Rs. 113 crore has been used to repay the term debt, and we have received 26% equity, which is valued at about 45.5 crores at the face value for this business. The current term debt stands at 120 crores. That means a reduction of 300 crores in less than 3 years. We feel happy with the above achievement of the last 3 years. However, we feel we still have a long way to go. That's all from my side. We'll be glad to take up any questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is on the line of Himanshu Upadhyay from O3 Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. See, I had questions. One of this is a follow-up, okay? In the last con call, we were very confident and it seemed we were interested in merging both TLL and Orchid Labs. And you also gave reasons why it made sense that both the companies to be merged, okay? And we were ready to go to higher courts also. What changed and why did we change our opinion on merger, okay? And what ramifications does it have? So because some of the products were being developed at DLL and which would be were to get manufactured at Orchid, okay? And similar type of things which we were expecting or we had guided for. So how are those things going to now happen, okay? And some of your thoughts, if you can elaborate, which have gone into this decision, will be helpful to us for future. Okay.
Yeah, thanks for your question, Himanshu. See, I'd like to inform that the basic philosophy and the intent of merging has not gone away, and that still stays. However, based on the advice from the investment bankers, as you are aware, we have the requirement to meet the MPS by 31st of March, and we have to bring in this QIP to meet that requirement. And after meeting various investors and as advised by our investment bankers, there was some ambiguity because of the delay in the merger process, and you know the courts took a very long time to give their decision. Although we did decide to, you know, go back to the court to review the decision, but I mean, due to the lack of or maybe reasons in the court, there was no decision coming, so we had to, I mean, withdraw for the time being. But the overall intent remains the same, and the main reason was, of course, synergies, which still exist. The other main reason was to have a good governance structure. So the synergies are not going to go away. The common intermediates and the partnership between two companies are still there. And for good governance, we would definitely like to go ahead. And that's what we want to demonstrate here also. We did not want any new investors to have any ambiguity. So we will again come to the board and to the shareholders for approving the merger once again after this QIP.
Himanshu, just to clarify further, after the QIP, the capital structure of Orchid would change. That would entail a change in the swap ratio already approved by the board and SEBI. So because of these two changes, in any case, we would have had to go back to the board for approval and SEBI. Therefore, we decided to withdraw our challenge in the courts, and we will come back with a fresh merger proposal, first with the board and then the stock exchanges, once the QIP process is completed.
Okay. Thank you. And I was going through the credit rating report what we have put on the BSE. When we see that the sterile products, the capacity utilization has improved quite significantly, and congrats on good set of effort, means the things which have happened. The production of in first half was more than what we did it in complete FY19 or CY19. But in case of orals, the capacity utilization remains very low, okay? Can you give an idea of what are the challenges here and what is the break-even level of capacity utilizations of orals? And by what time or what would be the efforts you are taking to increase the capacity utilization on orals side? Yeah.
You see, as it is a common plant, so there is no individual break-even. You understand, in a process industry, there are a lot of common overheads. So our intent is to increase both sterile as well as oral output. But as you know, there are two factors here in play. One is the major innovator company's contract. And sometimes, you know, that contributes largely to our oral revenue. And depending on their demand, it varies from quarter to quarter, sometimes even financial year to another year. And that's not very much in our control. But other than that contract, we have increased the sales of all other products. So overall intent remains same, and I think we are heading towards that only.
Okay, and one thing, then I'll join back in the queue. Ooh, we have seen the revenue stagnate, okay, YOY when we look at it. And raw material prices as a percentage have increased, okay, in the quarter. Has there been any product mix change or the prices have fallen for the products in the market and hence the gross margins have reduced? Can you elaborate on what has happened in this quarter?
Yeah, Himanshu, I think you are only comparing quarter and quarter numbers.
No, YOY Q1Q.
Yeah, YOY Q1Q, that's what I'm saying. So Orchid, I've always reiterated, our shipments are large, right? One order, one shipment could be as high as, let's say, 10 crore. So 1 or 2 days order here and there could shift the quarter. So we have always reiterated in the past, we should always look at Orchid as a business which is cumulative sales to year. So 1 or 2 days, because, the customer order couldn't go, the flight was not scheduled. Sometimes the date of the order might shift. Last 1 or 2 days revenue in any case is not recognized. So it could be because of some of those factors. So we are growing, on if you look at 9 month basis, we are growing upwards of 15%.
Okay. And the fall in depreciation is for what reason? From 20 crores to nearly 8 crores? YOY
yeah.
And even
so, we had guided even in our first year, Orchid invested a lot of money to build this plant, and from this year, a lot of that money investment has completed 15 years of life. So as per Orchid's depreciation policy, once the assets are 15 years old and 95% depreciated, we stop charging depreciation on that. Therefore, you see this sharp fall of a plant which was commissioned more than 15 years ago, suddenly changing to this number.
Okay. Thank you. I'll join back in queue.
Thank you much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Viraj Parekh from Carnelian Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Hi. Apologies, I joined the earnings call over here.
You're audible. May I request you to use the handset, please?
Hi. Am I audible now?
Slightly better, but a bit better. Yeah. Please go ahead. It seems that we have lost the line for the current participant. While he joins, we will move to the next question. That is from the line of Sajal Kapoor as an independent investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. Mridul, one of the menu items on your website mentions contract research and manufacturing services. Is this generic or NCE grants?
This is generic, not NCE.
We are currently working for the products which are going off patent in next few years. So we work with the generic players and develop it ahead of time for them. And then partner with them for manufacturing further if they are interested.
So the end customer, is that a generic company or the innovator?
Yeah, it's a
generic company. Generic company. Oh, okay, now fair enough, right. Okay, and then on this Enmetazobactam, the NCE royalty milestone payments, can you just remind us the timeline and the value again, please?
Yes, Sajal. So actually, timelines is a guesstimate. As we have said before, this is run by an independent company to which Orchid had licensed this product way back in 2013. So our estimate is that they have already filed for the new drug application in Europe in November, and they should have filed in US also early this year. So as per the US, it has been given a fast track status because of the increasing issue of antimicrobial resistance. So we believe that during June, July of this calendar year, it is likely that the product may be launched. Coming to the second part of your question in terms of the value estimate, we have estimated a lifetime value of $2 to $3 billion on this product, which is over a 10-year patent life left on this. And Orchid is entitled to an 8% royalty on the global sales of this.
Sure. That's helpful. One more question that I have is, so, when if I go back 15, 20 years, so somewhere around 2005 when you guys were not the management and Mr. K. Raghavendra Rao and team were there, the gross margins used to be in the as high as 60%, between 55 and 60%. I know a lot has changed in terms of selling the injectables capability to Hospira and so on and so forth. So business has come a long way after NCLT you guys have taken over. My question is, with increased exposure to the regulated markets, because I think that's where our thrust is, and slightly better raw material pricing going forward, I guess our gross margin should get closer to 45%, at least if not more, and then most of these gains should flow into the EBITDA margins. Is that a reasonable assumption?
You can say that. Currently, last year we were at 42%, currently we are at 40.5% of gross margins. So I think we won't be able to go back to the days that you're talking about, a 60% gross margin, but it is possible that we may inch up 1 or 2 percentage points as we go forward. A lot of this synergy will come more into play when our PLI project is implemented and we would have in-house backward integrated some of the key raw materials. So then this, in the longer term, it's very likely to play out.
Right. And do we see any sort of execution risk on that 7-ACA backward integration? What potentially could go wrong that we can perhaps foresee and mitigate upfront?
See, we don't foresee much of the issues. The only gray area that as a, you know, as a viewer, I would anticipate would be the technology. And fortunately, we've got access to a couple of technology providers, and we are very hopeful that we will be able to sign a technology transfer agreement from a very reputed company, and they have an excellent technology in hand. We are in advanced negotiation stage at this point of time. So we don't see much of a problem as of now.
Okay, fair enough. I've got more questions. I'll rejoin the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Viraj Parikh from Carnelian. Please go ahead.
Hi, apologies. I think I was in a bad network area. I hope you can hear me now.
Much better.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Yeah, so first question, if you could let me understand that for the 9 months, FY23, how much of our revenue has been contributed from the Europe region? We've done around 450 odd crores of top line. So can you help me with that number?
Viraj, we only talk about this on annual basis. And
okay.
I can say this, that last year we were at roughly between 40 and 45%. And the similar trend should continue even for this year going forward. What has happened new is US business has started in this quarter. And although the numbers are not big, but we expect this number to be significant in next year.
Okay, just to follow up on that, what kind of demand environment are you foreseeing in Europe currently and probably for FY24 as you're progressing towards a new financial year? If you can help me understand your talks with the customers, clients which are going on there.
I think we are expecting a better demand this year with all this war going on and a lot of turbulence. We see the healthcare demand in Europe to be higher this year.
Okay. And apologies for repeating the question because I joined the call a little late. I just heard that a depreciation is around has decreased because of some non-capitalization of assets which are aged more than 15 years and 95% depreciated. So will we have to incur further capex for the machinery which is outdated, or can we continue that for the coming 2-3 years more?
Viraj, Orchid invested in world-class equipment, always most of our equipment, especially in the sterile plant, is all Italian, German, American, Japan, etc. So they have long life. What we do imagine is that depending on component to component, as we expand and modernize, the marginal capex could be needed of 15 to 20 crores kind of a thing to maintain these kind of assets. We don't need anything major going forward to current this run rate. You are already aware of the sterile plant that we are commissioning with additional investments. Those we have already talked about earlier to increase capacity. To maintain the current business, we do envisage any large number as investment.
So we can go ahead with a 15-20 odd crore quarterly depreciation kind of a run rate going ahead, right?
Yes. Not 20 crore per annum, it's 35 crores per annum, Viraj, sorry.
No, I'm talking about quarterly. For the quarter, we grew around 8 crore this quarter, right? A depreciation.
Yeah. So similar numbers should continue going forward.
Maybe something will get added for the new investment that is going to be capitalized. Otherwise, there should not be a significant increase in depreciation.
Just last question before I join back in queue. Are we on track to dilute our stake before March 23, or are there any further delays in that?
So we have appointed Edelweiss and JM as our investment bankers. They are looking into the matter. They are preparing the documentation and all. We are hopeful we should be able to do it before 31st March.
Okay, thanks. I'll join back in queue.
Thank you. Next question is in the line of Tushar Talwar from regulation30.com. Please go ahead.
I had my questions answered. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Nikhil Upadhyay from Securities Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. Thanks for the opportunity and appreciation for the improvement in the performance we've seen for the company. My question is, like, if I go by the rating document, and we've seen a significant scale-up in the sterile business. And what we understand is sterile is a more profitable business versus the oral dosage. But over the same period, what we've also seen is that our gross margin has significantly fallen, while the sterile mix and growth has been much higher. So how should we read it? And is it mainly because of, is it like RM cost and if prices and sterile have fallen significantly, which has impacted us, or do you think it can reverse?
Yeah. So Nikhil, sterile plant, just to, explain this to you, sterile plant, we need to keep operational to make the sterile conditions 24/7, whether we are manufacturing in it or not. So when the banks were running it before our takeover for almost 3 years, they decided they will not make any product unless the gross margin was upwards of 50%. But while they were continuing to invest, incur the cost of people, energy, maintenance, and all of those heads on a sterile plant. When we took over, we realized that while we are incurring this expense, not taking orders in our sterile plant is not a good strategy. So even at lower gross margins for the emerging markets, we have decided to keep the sterile plants operational. So let's say we earn a gross margin of even 30%, that all of that goes directly to the bottom line because we don't add as much expense after the gross margin line on that manufacturing. So that is what you see as an increase, significantly increased capacity utilization on the sterile side in our book. And our intent is to ensure that our sterile plants are fully operational all the time, and you would see similar numbers on the sterile side going forward. As we increase our regulated market business going forward, obviously the same product from the same plant can be sold to regulated markets, and we can see improvements like I just shared earlier answer that we are increasing our US business. So gross margins would see improvement on the sterile side due to that business.
Okay, thanks for the detailed answer. Another question is, like, if we look at like last 10-12 quarters, our operating cost, now we've been able to manage our operating cost other than the RM, so the employee cost and the other operating cost has been in a tight band. And what I understand is that we are not putting any greenfield, and most of the capacity is more of a brownfield in both in sterile and oral, other than the intermediate plant, which is separate. So sure. As the utilizations of the oral dosage and everything increases, do you think the operating costs will remain at this level, or how should we understand the operating cost inflation which may hit? Like, is it like as the utilizations improve, whatever increase happens will flow to the EBITDA margin improvement?
So Nikhil, I would like to cite last year's results as an example. Roughly our last year sales increased by almost 24%, while the expenses increased only by 12%. So as we go forward, we expect this operating leverage to continue to play out for us. What exactly will the numbers be this year, we have to see. But we expect that sales growth would be more and expenses would not increase in the same proportion, thereby adding to the EBITDA percentage as a percentage to sale, which we have demonstrated in the 3 years of operating.
You see, this year, I just like to add, this year the head that was not in our control was worldwide increase in the energy costs. But it is our endeavor to continue working on reducing the costs. And I am confident that you will see further reduction, at least in terms of percentage of all the costs going into the future.
Yeah, and that was my point, sir, that in last 9 months, what we have seen is that the API prices corrected significantly, while the RM prices, the energy prices, the freight prices, like in the last 1 year, had significantly increased. So as those are cooling off and our utilizations are improved, our margin profile should only improve from here. Or is there anything which I am missing that probably can pull the margins over or maintain at this level?
I think we are thinking on the same lines as you. We are hopeful that margins should improve with increase in sales and reduction in the overheads. Yeah.
Okay. And just last two questions. We were planning to sell the Orchid Towers to which would have reduced the debt significantly from this 130 crores to probably below 50 crores. So any developments over there? Or
we've signed an ATS with a party. Unfortunately, I cannot divulge the contents of that. But hopefully the transaction should be concluded before end of March this year.
Okay. And lastly, what is the carry forward tax losses which we have and that should like be good enough for which should keep the company as a non-tax paying for how many years?
Mr. Sunil Gupta, can you answer that?
Yeah, sir. Actually, we have around 1,000 crore of this carry forward losses.
Okay.
Right. And I don't think next 2-3, at least 3-4 years we will have problem. But as you know, that after every year, after 8 years, this start lapsing.
Yeah.
So that part we have to see.
Yeah, so that's why I was asking that when we had acquired, at that time there were significant losses and over the last 2 years.
But right now it is usable is 1,000.
Okay, fine. Thanks a lot. I will come back in this.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, please press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Rupesh Chen from IntelSense. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah. So my first question is, I think previously you had given a growth guidance of 20-25% for 3-4 years. In 9 months, we see that number is at 15%. I know you have talked about shipping. So let's say for FY23 and then also FY24, we can work with that kind of guidance.
Rupesh, unfortunately, since the QIP process has started, we are advised by the lawyers we cannot make forward-looking statements on this call today.
Okay. Other than shipping, was there any issue in Q3? Because generally H2 is much stronger, right, for cephalosporin business.
Yes, historically for Orchid, H2 has been 60% of the sales compared to H1. So 40-60 has been the ratio historically.
But was there any issue other than shipping?
I'm not sure what you mean.
I mean, the Q2 and Q3 number is same, right, sir? I mean, actually Q3 is marginally lower and generally, H2 should be much stronger, right? So shipping is one issue you talked about, that maybe some shipments got delayed because of 1-2 days like that you have said. But was there any other, industry level or some sort of demand side issue?
No, I think the trend last 2-3 years that we have experienced is that the second half is better. So I mean, as you said, because of the advice from lawyers, we do not wish to make a statement in that regard. But I'm sure you can understand.
Yeah. I'm not asking you about Q4, sir. I'm asking about Q3, December 22.
Yeah, so there was no issue, and the H2 results should be like the past trend in our opinion. There is no major change. But the only point I was trying to make is don't look at it just quarter. That's not the right way to look at it.
Okay. I see. And then the second question, sir, is, where are we on our, injectable capex, given we are already running at full capacity?
So we have wanted, currently has 4 sterile blocks. We are in the process of commissioning the 5th one. So because we are adding the products, in the earlier calls we have talked about ceftaroline and ceftazidime avibactam. In fact, ceftazidime avibactam we have launched already in India on 27th of January. So to utilize our capacity and able to service the market for these products, the 5th block will be commissioned. Our target date for that is 15th of June of this calendar year, and we seem to be on track.
And after commissioning, there must be some regulatory approvals, or we can directly use it.
Emerging markets, we can immediately start using it, and okay. For regulated markets, we will need an inspection by the regulatory agencies. But as I've explained before in this call and earlier, our regulated market capacities are more than enough. So we don't see a challenge currently in servicing the regulated markets, even with the capacity that we have.
Okay. And then the next question is you said that oral capacity utilization, I think as per credit report, is roughly 40 to 45%. And you said, CMO deliveries dictate that. I mean, we do a product manufacturing for some innovator. So my question is, what percentage of, oral revenue or of total revenue is this, product manufacturing for an innovator?
I think there was some miscommunication. We have a long-term manufacturing deal with the innovator. We don't do contract manufacturing. So it is a different kind of arrangement. It's not a contract manufacturing arrangement. And in terms of the capacity utilization, actually what you see in the credit report, some of that capacity, I have said in the earlier call as well, so was related to Gen 1 products like Ciflexin, which Orchid used to sell 300 to 400 tons per year. So after our sterile capacity comes online, our next project is the rejigging of the capacities to make the newer generation products. And this capacity number during the next credit report would be revised once we rejig that capacity to make the newer generation products.
Understood, sir. But inside oral, is all our sales is this innovator sales, or is there some other sales also?
No. The innovator sales would be about 20-25%.
Of the total or of the oral?
Of the total oral.
Okay, so then, I mean, rest of the 75% we should be able to use and take this capacity upwards, right? I mean, 42% kind of sounds like a low number, right? At least 70-80% we using the non-innovative business, can we not get that capacity there?
Yeah, that's what we are doing. That's how the sales have increased in the last 2 years. But as he suggested, some of those stated capacities are probably not the right parameter to judge, because they need a little bit of, re-engineering to cater to the newer class of products, which have more demand than the older products. So that is what we are in the process of doing now.
I see. Okay. So my next question is on competition. One of the, North-based competitor, maybe I should take a name, Nectar Life, is a very big player in cephalosporin. And we kind of see, balance sheet issues with that company. And it's a pretty big 1,500, 1,600 crore kind of sales. So based on this and probably other competitors, how is the competitive scenario? Do you see some value migration happening to us now that Orchid Pharma is in, strong balance sheet, strong management? Do you kind of see that happening?
The markets are growing. We see healthy competition. Would not be proper to comment on the competitor. But we see that the demand is growing and there's scope for everybody.
Okay, okay. And then, sir, my last question is, in 9 months, what was the U.S. revenue contribution? And what, I mean, in let's say 24, 25, can you give some indicative range where the U.S. revenue can grow?
So, Rupesh, just I explained to Nikhil, we can't make forward-looking statements. Currently, the revenue contribution is in low single digits, but the CAGR percentage on this business would be significantly higher than the rest of the business going forward. That's all I can say.
Okay, okay. Okay, okay. Thank you. Thank you so much, sir, for answering all my questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Darshan Jhaveri from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, and thank you so much for taking my question. So, sir, I just wanted to know how much of our sales are from oral and how much from injectables. Is a rough range would also do.
Yeah, so roughly 1/3 of our business is injectables and 2/3 is oral.
Okay, sir. And would these guys, what would be the margin profile of, both the products? Are they similar range or how would they behave?
This is a very tricky question, Darshan.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I'll have to give you a very convoluted kind of answer. So, you know, it depends on which product and which market you are selling. I can give you the range which will, help you understand what it looks like. For some of the products that on the oral side, the gross margins may be as low as 25%, while for some products it may be as high as 75%. The similar ranges would play out even in the sterile space. So it's very difficult to say in general what is the margin between the two.
Okay, sir. So, I understand, sir, we can't make, a forward-looking statement. So, but in general, if at proper capacity utilization, what kind of margins do these blended basis, overall on a company level, what is the ideal EBITDA margin that we're looking forward to? Because there will be a lot of fluctuations. So, we don't really know what actually our business can generate in terms of profit. So, I don't want, again, any specific guidance, but just a range of normal profits. Are previously done 18% EBITDA or something like that reasonable, or is this completely, changed right now?
So our intention is to continuously improve it, Darshan. And like I said, we have talked about it in the past. So our sales last year increased by 24-25%, while the cost increased by only 12%. And as we go along, we expect that leverage should continue to play out for us. And whatever we earn by extra sales and gross margin will go directly to EBITDA, because like I said, costs will not increase in the same percentage as sales.
Oh, okay, so that is right. Yeah, sorry, sir.
Yeah, so we have three-pronged strategy. Like two we've already discussed about, reducing the cost and increasing the sales of existing products. The third one we probably didn't talk about was the launching of new products, and like Brazil said, we launched Avibactam Ceftazidime combination, which went off patent on 27th of January. And happy to announce that we were able to launch it on day one through a formulation partner, and four large Indian companies launched their product through our API. So that's the third pillar on which we are working, and hopefully we will have new products coming in the future 3-4 years. That will contribute to not just top line, but as you know, newer products have a better gross margin. So that will contribute to a higher EBITDA also.
Okay, sir. That helps me a lot. Thank you so much and all the best for your future. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
A reminder to our participants, please press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference back to the management for their closing remarks. Thank you, and over to you.
Dear gentlemen, thank you very much for your interest in this conference call. We appreciate your interest in Orchid Pharma. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Nuvama Institutional Equities, that concludes today's call. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.